So last week, Elliot finished our sermon series on Meals with Jesus by looking at the meaning of the Sabbath. If we remember, that is Shabbat, and that means to cease or to rest. And it comes from Genesis 2:2, and on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. So as I said at the beginning, today Elliot and Angie are beginning their 9-week sabbatical. So we're going to apply some biblical principles of rest in a very practical way today. If you would, please turn to Exodus chapter 18. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 27. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is it that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you good advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and ten, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will be able to go to their place in peace." So here we find Moses is just overwhelmed with the demands of leadership, and his father-in-law, Jethro, gave him wise, God-honoring counsel. Now, I'm sorry, I have to stop. Because anytime I hear the word Jethro, what immediately comes to somebody's mind? Beverly Hillbillies. I'm sorry, that immediately comes to mind. So I'm going to try not to bring that to mind today. So the idea that I want to get from this message is a pastor sabbatical is not a crisis, and it's not a vacation. It's wise biblical opportunity for the whole body of Christ to step into shared ministry that Jesus has given to every believer. Now, we can have different feelings about Elliot not being here and Angie not being here, right? Some of us can be excited or hopeful for what the Lord is going to do in their absence. Others may feel uncertain, anxious, or fearful about what's going to happen to the church when Elliot's not here. And these feelings are normal and honest, but God's word meets us right here and gives us solid ground to stand on, that Christ is still the head of this church and he has not left us. So today, we're just going to have 3 points. We're going to look at the problem, the pattern, and the practice. Leaders carry a heavy burden and need biblical rest. That's our problem that we're looking at today. So look at it in Exodus 18:13. It says, "The next day Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening." So Moses was doing faithful work. He was teaching God's words and statutes and deciding disputes. But Jethro saw the unsustainable pace and warned him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone." With Elliot being bivocational. He really understands this because he not only has a job, well, I'm going to say a job, but it's more than one job if we know Elliot. He's got Judson, he's got counseling, and I'm sure he's got some other type of thing over at Judson that he's working on as well. But he also is preaching and visiting those who are sick and praying and carrying the spiritual weight of the congregation. So what Elliot is doing is he's living what Paul the Apostle modeled, working as a tent maker while planting churches, so he wouldn't burden the congregations, the young congregations. We can find that in Acts 18 and in 1 Thessalonians 2. Some interesting research I found when going through some of this is from the Barna Group in 2022. It revealed that 42% of U.S. pastors seriously considered quitting full-time ministry that year. And the top reasons were the immense stress of 56%, 43% said of the extreme loneliness, and the rest were burnout. Only 70% of you of churches, 30% of churches, only 30% of churches have a formal sabbatical policy. So that would leave 70% having no policy whatsoever, leaving many leaders, especially those who are bivocational, which is roughly 50% of evangelical pastors have to have two jobs. Many of these bivocational ones just to push through exhaustion without any structured renewal. So as I said before, a sabbatical is not a vacation. So we're going to look at what it isn't and then what it is. It's not leisure or just time off just for having the sake of time off. It's a structured, intentional season of physical recovery, spiritual refreshment, and extended time in prayer and scripture, investing in family, studying, and just overall reconnection with the Lord. The goal of a sabbatical is to return stronger and more effective for both ministry in the church, in his family, and in his other jobs. So we're just going to give a quick overview again of kind of some things Elliot preached, of which I already had in the sermon. But Elliot, you know, the Lord led him the same way he was leading me. Biblical rest practices provide the foundation. God modeled this rhythm. The weekly Sabbath is in Exodus 20, 8 through 11. God commanded his people, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." So a Shabbat was meant to recharge us vertically towards God, not just to do whatever we want. Jesus clarified the heart of the Sabbath in Mark 2, 27 through 28. He said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So Jesus taught that mercy and compassion for people were more important than rigid religious rules. Jesus healed on the Sabbath multiple times because the Sabbath is meant to help people, not hurt them. If we look in Colossians 2, 16 through 17, the Apostle Paul taught freedom in this area. It says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you with regards to a Sabbath. There are no shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." So what are some of the benefits of biblical rest? Research confirms what Scripture has already taught us throughout different passages. Intentional rest reduces stress and cortisol levels. It strengthens the immune system. It improves sleep, lowers anxiety, helps emotional regulation, and leads to greater peace and joy. For a pastor, a sabbatical can multiply these blessings, restoring energy, rekindling their first love for Christ or what they were initially called to, strengthen their family bonds, and provide fresh vision for the ministry. The whole church benefits from a refreshed shepherd who returns with a renewed passion. So just one application here on this point is I want us to commit to praying for our pastor and his wife every single day during the sabbatical. We should pray for a deep physical and spiritual rest, protection for his marriage, his family, give him wisdom and strength in all his other avenues that he's doing, and a renewed passion for Christ. We should avoid gossip or speculation as to why pastor's not here, what he's doing when he's not here. This is how, as Galatians 6:2 says, we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So that's the problem, but what's the pattern? God designed his church for shared ministry. Jethro didn't just diagnose the problem, he gave a biblical solution. In a lot of churches, they can look at a problem and diagnose a problem, and then when it comes to a solution, they start going through with the way the world would want to solve a solution, instead of first looking to the Bible to see what the Bible has to say about the problem and how it should be solved. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to give a biblical solution, just like Jethro did, for the problem. Moses should keep his core calling of teaching the people and representing them before God. That's what Jethro said. Then he should delegate. Look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy, hate a bribe, and place such men over the people. And the result of all of this is you will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. If we look in the New Testament, the apostles were having all these people come to them. And what did they do? That's when we see Stephen, and they had the deacons to give the food and take care of the widows so that the apostles could devote themselves to prayer and study. So this is God's design for his church, is a shared ministry, not a one-man ministry. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 tells us that Christ gave us pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. In Acts 14, 23 and 1 Peter 5, we see a plurality of elders shepherding churches. Acts 6 is deacons serving practical needs. And every believer is a priest with spiritual gifts for the common good. We see that in 1 Peter 2:9 and 1 Corinthians 12:7. So a sabbatical is not just a church getting by without a pastor. It activates the biblical pattern. Jesus is the head of the church, and he's never taken a break from caring for his sheep. So today is the Indy 500. I love to watch the Indy 500. But if you watch any of the racing, you see the driver, and it's the driver wins. But as soon as they talk to the driver, it's not about the driver. He immediately talks to his team. The guy's putting gas in the car, the guy's changing the tires, the guy's running the jack. The strategist who's telling him, well, you're using a little too much fuel here, maybe you should back off. The spotter who's telling him what's coming up ahead, what's coming up behind him. It's everybody working together for one goal. So this week, I want to honestly ask yourself, am I functioning as a spectator or as an active servant in the body? Identify one specific way you can serve and just start taking that step. So we've looked at the problem, the pattern. Now what is the practice? So what's daily steps for regular Christians? Because Elliot's on the sabbatical and carries this large double load, this is a strategic season for all of us. So what does faithfulness look like right now? Let's gather faithfully when we meet and that we come ready to worship Christ and encourage whoever is preaching, singing, when we have songs. That's part of the worship. It's not just showing up to Sunday morning and worship. It's being active in our worship. Serve actively with the gifts that you've been given. Step up in mercy, hospitality, care, anything else the Lord has gifted you in. Don't wait, but begin what the Lord is prompting you to do. Support those who are in leadership right now. Encourage them. And those that are filling the pulpit, encourage them, be here, thank them, listen attentively, and hear what the Lord's given them to speak. Pray persistently and specifically. Pray for pastors' complete renewal, for unity and maturity in the church, for new leaders to emerge, and for the gospel to advance powerfully. Another one is to deepen your own walk with Christ. Read larger or more portions of Scripture daily. If there's sin that you have, repent of it. Cultivate private prayer. Are you constantly praying when something comes to mind? Are you able to withdraw and pray about what's going on? If there's somebody who needs some discipleship, are you able to disciple, encourage them, get them to somebody who's able to disciple them? But let your faith be rooted firmly in Jesus and not just one man. Prepare a joyful and realistic welcome. Plan to receive Elliot back and Angie with gratitude and continued practical support that honors his calling. So when Elliot comes back, it's not just, oh, you're back. Here you go. I'm going to go back sit in the pew now. Thank you. But continue to actively do what has been what you've been doing while Elliot's been away and Angie's been away, that we can uplift them and allow them to do other things that the Lord is bringing to them, that maybe we can take on some of the stuff that's already here so that we can advance the ministry. So Moses humbled himself and delegated to qualified leaders, and the whole community experienced peace and sustainability. We have the same opportunity. The statistics on pastoral burnout and the low number of churches offering sabbaticals underscore the urgency of having biblical wisdom. But the real solution is not better policies. It's a congregation living under the lordship of Christ with shared ministry. 1 Peter 5:4 says, Jesus is the good shepherd and Lord of the Sabbath. He labored perfectly for our salvation, rested in the tomb, and rose victorious. He never grows weary in caring for you. He invites every weary soul, come unto me, and I will give you rest. If you're tired, feeling unqualified, or have been sitting on the sidelines, come to him today by faith. He forgives, he restores, he equips ordinary believers just like us for joyful service by his Spirit. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we are carrying on the ministry as it is set. So one thing that we're going to make sure we're continuing to carry on is that that blessing box gets built and that we have it open for people to come and get, and that we're constantly resupplying the things that we need to supply. Minister justice is still happening. What other things can we be adding or doing that we're not doing right now that maybe the Lord is laying on your heart? Let's have a conversation. Let's pray about it. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you that you've allowed us to be able to give Elliot and Angie the sabbatical that they need. I ask that you would strengthen them together. I ask that you would give them rest, that you would draw them closer to you, that you would give them a renewed vision of what ministry looks like. Give Elliot time to study and prepare for the messages, maybe the series that you're going to bring up when he comes back, and that he'd be able to return rested and ready to go and anxious to get back to preaching and serving in the church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.